This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Open for Business here on BFM 89.9. Let's talk a little bit about delivery services. I guess specifically last mile delivery services. A lot of companies in this country are doing a whole bunch of kind of different delivery services. We've got long-haul couriers, short-haul couriers. On the phone with me, I have Devan Jayakumar. He is from Zoomit Now, a chief operations officer over there. They connect businesses, online e-commerce, and brick-and-mortar retailers to on-demand, same-day delivery specialists, ensuring fast and seamless delivery. They ensure ease of use with its platform, as well as acting as a trusted business partner to businesses across Malaysia. Devan, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Richard.
Now, I've got a whole bunch of things I want to talk to you about, but let's start off with something interesting first. Back in 2017, you guys were named Startup of the Year. How have things been since then? What's changed exactly?
When we were named Startup of the Year, we were fairly new. I think we have been 2 years in operation, about that. What it gave us was basically, we were normally just working with smaller businesses, home-based businesses, etc. But what happened was it gave us more confidence to approach bigger companies, bigger clients, because we've been recognized, and it also helped us to, you know, speak to them and show our abilities, because it was very difficult to get into the room with these bigger guys. But yeah, that allowed us to actually, you know, speak to them and stuff. So yeah, that was the good part about being recognized in Malaysia startup world.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you guys didn't have it easy. I mean, you know, entrepreneurs are portrayed as, you know, people who were with grit and determination. And you guys seem to have had a lot of that, and this whole, you know, not take no for an answer. Over 30 tries to try and raise funding. Why was it difficult, do you think?
Actually, it was probably more than 30 times. But, you know, the thing is, I guess timing was our biggest challenge, you know, because when we have actually raised the first round of investment with a couple of foreign and local-based investment firms, and when we were using that money and when we wanted to go into our next round of funding, that was when COVID hit. So we were talking about funding just before the COVID came. And, you know, they take a bit of time to assess your due diligence and stuff like that. And that's when it hit, COVID hit. And,
oh, my.
Yeah. And that's when, you know, things slowed down. So as a company, we needed to, you know, and in a startup, you gotta burn a little bit of cash in order to grow scale, right? So we needed to do was to pivot ourselves to be a profitable company in order to be sustainable and ride out this wave so that we will still be around. That was our strategy behind COVID, you know?
Tell me about that pivot then. What exactly did you do?
You know, a few things. Number one is we needed to sort of like look for clients with higher margins in terms of their deliveries and stuff. We couldn't really give a lot of promotions to clients. We needed to go in with showing them our ability in the past. A lot of the clients, they're looking for good offers and things, and we had to turn them down because it's just not something that we wanted to do during this period. We did not want to sort of like burn cash in order to scale. We needed to just focus on profitability. Everything is just profit. Margins, margins, margins to pay up every OPEX cost that we had. So that was when we couldn't. And also the other thing is probably cash flow, right? Because all these clients, they have a payment term. So we can't breach our cash flow in order to sustain their business. We need to raise money in order to get a new business because some clients pay within 30 days, some clients pay within 60 days. So we looked at our cash flow and we say, oh, if we take this we might get into a cash flow issue, right? So
right.
we can't really do that now. So we had to scale down on that area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we had to do in order to be more sustainable, sort of like looking at ourselves as a brick and mortar business rather than a startup.
Right. Yeah. And I suspect, you know, for yourself and for the other employees of Zoomit now, COVID's been a difficult period, like mentally as well, correct?
Yes, it's been crazy. I mean, when COVID first hit, I think a lot of people's perception about COVID is the logistics guys would be flying high because it's an essential service, right? But what people don't really understand is without the businesses being able to run, there's nothing for us to deliver.
Right.
Right. So although we are allowed to operate, our sales dropped quite drastically during the first COVID period because a lot of people didn't know whether they are allowed to operate, whether, you know, they had to shut down and things like that. And even the clients that we serve in the mid-mile sector, those warehouses and stuff for parcel deliveries, those guys also had so many COVID cases, so they had to shut down. And it was very difficult for us to also operate under those type of circumstances. So we didn't have the ability to scale quick enough in order to gain back that margin that we're losing with the clients being able told to shut down and things like this from the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, things over the last, you know, few weeks, 2-3 weeks, we've seen shifts in SOPs and some places started to open up and other places not so much. How have things changed in the last couple of weeks for you? Have they gotten better?
Yeah, it has definitely gotten better because I think, to be honest, and this is not to criticize the government or whatsoever, a lot of people were a bit confused with SOPs, but now we roughly know what needs to be done, what can't be done, and etc. So I feel, and a lot of businesses have now started coming back into play. So there is, we have seen a lot of growth in the past couple of months. And that has helped us as well in terms of our revenue, hitting our revenues. So it has definitely gotten better in recent times. And I suppose that's got to do with how quickly the government has vaccinated people and people are allowed to continue their business.
Mm. Okay, let's take a short break here, Davin.
Yeah, sure.
I'm on the phone right now with Davin Jayakumar. He's the Chief Operations Officer over at Zoomit Now. I'm going to take a short break here on Open for Business. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes after these messages here on BFM 89.9.
Burden-free Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Open for Business. I'm on the phone with Davin Jayakumar. He's the Chief Operations Officer at Zoomit Now. They connect businesses, online e-commerce, and brick-and-mortar retailers to on-demand same-day delivery specialists, ensuring fast and seamless delivery. Davin, for people that are just joining us right now, people that might have just tuned in, give me your elevator pitch, how it went when you were trying to raise some funds. Let's hear it.
Zoomit Now is a tech-enabled logistic provider that tracks and traces every single parcel that we deliver, and we take away the logistic nightmares from businesses so that we can do that part for businesses.
Okay. I might throw some money your way. Now.
Thank you.
So how competitive is the market now? I mean, I set up the show earlier on talking about, you know, other businesses that are doing a very similar thing. How competitive is it actually right now?
It's super duper competitive because, the barrier of entry for a logistic firm is pretty small in Malaysia. Anybody can open their own logistic company. Mm. We have licenses provided by the government to be a logistic company, which we applied for. I think there's only been 127, 120-ish, don't quote me on that number, license that's been issued to logistic companies. But I think there's more than 500 logistic companies in Malaysia. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit odd that companies are allowed to do logistics without a license, but, you know, it that makes it difficult for companies like us who have the licenses, but, you know, you're fighting against those without license, and clients don't really, the bigger clients worry a lot about licensing, right?
But the smaller Joe ones, public, it's the Joe public, isn't it? It's people like me and people sat at home who just might look at, you know, the price on a piece of paper and say, okay, these guys are the cheapest, let's go with them.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Because we do understand that, because they are fighting a margin, right? Your home business, you've got to sink in as much as possible. But the bigger guys, they worry a lot about licenses because they've got their own SOPs to follow and things. But the smaller guys, they're just like, give me the cheapest rate, you know? Well, what is the cheapest that you have? So even if you have a lot of value-added services compared to the others, they tend to like, well, I just want my product to get to my client as quick as possible. So, you know, that's what it is.
What would you say is your USP then? What sets you guys apart?
Well, to be honest, I think most logistic firms out there, they have their own tech, right? So we have our own in-house built tech as well, which it tracks it. We can even take pictures on the app as well, where people will be able to see their products, the integrity of the products. But what separates us is we are a bridge between the traditional courier companies like your DHL and GDAX and all, and your startup side, which is like your, not startup, sorry, you mean like your Grabs and Lalamove and all, which do for customers, right? We're somewhere in the middle because we do both types of deliveries. We deliver perishable goods, which the big guys don't do that, like, you know, flowers and all that stuff. And we also deliver parcels, you know, those that go all across Malaysia. So I would say that we are somewhere in the middle because I don't really want to talk so much about tech. Everybody has the tech now, right? Of course, ours is very different from others, but I wouldn't want to speak on behalf of others. What I know from my tech is it enables to optimize routing, which I'm not sure whether the others have that now. It enables us to capture pictures for clients to see that the product integrity that was delivered, it is exactly how we picked it up. And I think besides that, it's about there. That's all I can say for the differences.
Now, this wouldn't be a show about entrepreneurs unless we spoke about a couple of things. And those couple of things are financing, for one thing, and, you know, the struggle itself of being a startup and being a smaller player in the market. Let's talk about raising funds first, Ewan. You know, how did you manage to go about that? I mean, I know you went through a few rounds of funding and you spoke to a whole bunch of people about getting money together. Talk to me a little about the ASEAN Rice Bowl. That's the startup awards that you won in back in 2017. And after that, you know, how did you go around raising funds? Who did you approach?
Okay, so basically, we were self-funded in the beginning. Each of us founders put out our own money to build a proof of concept in terms of deliveries, right? And once we did that and we created our own tech and we built it to an optimal position, we started approaching local VC firms to see whether they have any grants and things like this, right? And from there, we were lucky enough to meet some really good people in Malaysia that connected us with a lot of foreign VCs, right? So, in fact, one of our VCs are Hong Kong-based VC, another one's a Japanese, and we also have a Malaysian VC as well. And it was basically networking. We had to go for a lot of different startup shows, startup meet and greets, and that's where we met a lot of different guys who connected us with different people, and that's how we got to know these VCs and gave us an opportunity to pitch what we had, and they were pretty impressed with what we had, and they were willing to put the money, you know, on, on us, to bet on us. Because, you know, it's, I think to me at the end of the day, the VC firms or the PE firms, they normally try to gamble a lot on the entrepreneur itself rather than the business, right? So when they saw us and they knew that, okay, these guys are able to scale it up, they gambled on us, which we are grateful for. And that's what enabled us to raise our funds.
Do you mind me asking what you guys were doing before you started this business?
Okay. So we have a couple of partners. One of them being my older brother as well. He was all his life in advertising. And then I have another partner who is a childhood friend. He was in an F&B. Me, myself, before I started this with these guys, I was in the medical line, doing medical sales.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically, we were all in different sectors, different areas. And the thing is, one day when we were all hanging out and talking in the mama and getting, you know, talking about life and stuff, one of us, I can't remember who, but brought up the fact that, hey, I ordered flowers for my wife and it was delivered in a certain way, which was not a very good experience, right? So that's when we noticed that actually things are delivered quite slow here. And and, you know, there is no tracking because this was like in 2016, 2017, right? So there was not much tech behind it. And we thought, you know, there's actual, I mean, this is something that is needed because we are moving very to the digital side. And how can we find a gap there? That's what we talked about. Like, should we create, should we build a system that we can go and lease it out to everybody? That was our first initial step. So once we built the system and we went to different companies to ask them if they wanted to lease the system, what they said is, but the thing is, I want this system, but I don't want to manage the logistic part as well. Right? I don't want to hire the riders, discipline them. And that's when we decided, oh, let's pivot. Let's do a proof of concept and maybe hire 10 guys to go and deliver their flowers and using the system. And from there, we built more and more because more and more people saw, oh, you have the system, you have the riders, and the riders are all dressed professionally, comes in a big bag. These were things that never really happened back then. So that's where we decided to scale further. And thankfully, it's been going on now for 6-7 years now. And, you know, we're still around.
I mean, I've been here in Malaysia around 13 years, and I've seen an awful lot of changes in terms of how things have been improved by going digital, whether or not it's delivery services or, you know, ride hailing services. And it's made massive changes to people's lives all around. You know, I can now get a taxi just by pushing a button. I can now get a delivery service just by pushing a button. Whereas before, I could be stood out in the rain for 45 minutes arguing with a taxi driver about why I shouldn't be paying the fee that he's trying to quote me to get 5 minutes down the road. You know, people's lives have actually been changed. With that in mind, with this journey that you've taken over the last few years, is there anything in there that you would have changed, or as a company, you might have changed and done ever so slightly different if you were given the chance to do so?
You know, I don't want to sound cliche by saying there's nothing I would have changed because, you know, you when you make mistakes, you learn from the mistakes and you improve yourself, right?
But for sure,
You know, to be honest, well, I think if we knew what we knew now back then, a lot of things would have been different, you know. There were times where we bit more than we could chew, approaching big clients when we are not infrastructurally there to do their businesses. But, you know, we were more well-prepared. But, you know, when you're, when you are dealing with investors as well, you got to hit the numbers that they put out there, right? So we needed to push on very quickly and scale as quick as possible. Otherwise, we won't meet their expectations as well.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, if I knew things now back then, you know, maybe we would have managed the investors better in terms of, look, we need to set up ourselves first before we approach the big guys so we don't lose them rather than just gung-ho for it, you know? So I can't really say much. I mean, yeah, tech-wise, we went 2 years to 3 years keep on changing and changing and changing to adapt to the new client's needs, right?
Mm.
So those are things that if we had done it earlier, we wouldn't have spent so much more money on it, things like that. Besides that, I don't know what else I could have changed.
But I think if you hadn't have spent that money, like you say, you wouldn't have learned what you've learned and you wouldn't be here now talking to me on the radio about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. The thing is, the fact is, you do all these mistakes and what you're supposed to do is to understand it and make sure the next guy that comes along, you don't make the same mistakes, right? And we have made a lot of mistakes. So it has helped us build ourselves to where we are. And I am grateful for some of those mistakes because it helps us understand more how can we be better. Because if we didn't make those mistakes, we're never going to change. We're going to be the same person and same way all the time.
Wonderful. David, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Richard, for having me.
My pleasure. I've just been on the phone with Devan Jayakumar. He's the Chief Operations Officer over at Zoomit Now. They connect businesses, online e-commerce, and brick-and-mortar retailers to an on-demand, same-day delivery specialist, ensuring fast and seamless delivery. To find out more about Zoomit Now, head over to their website, zoomitnow.co. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally download it from. I recommend the BFM app that is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. For BFM 89.9, I'm Rich Bradbury.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.